a taste of Let's Talk About Jesus, I want you to remember that we are on the air now in our, I guess this is coming through our fourth year of media ministry, and through that media ministry, that's one of the most probably downloaded parts of our website is the teachings on Let's Talk About Jesus. God has appointed that. God has anointed that. He gave us the title, and He gave us a scripture to claim. And the scripture is Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent His word and healed them. By the way, it starts with you before it goes to them. So don't just miss what God's doing for them when it starts with us right here before it ever gets to them. Wouldn't it be a shame to get all these testimonies of deliverances out there from them? And here we are right here and we miss it. That's not, He wants it to begin here with you and with me before it ever goes out to them. But what starts here doesn't stop here. Amen. It's been going, we've covered almost all the states in the United States of America have come and are still coming back to our website. And now we're working on the nations of the world. And God is concerned about the little nations, not just the big nations. So as it goes to China and it goes to Canada and Africa, Central and North Africa. It also comes from little places, little islands that I can't hardly pronounce, off the island of Madagascar. And then there's little islands off of that island. And God is, somebody there is connected to the World Wide Web, and they have come to download from our website. So we're covering the nations of the world out of this little setting right here. And to me, that is the most incredible thing that could ever happen to us, to know that what we're all doing here is touching so many people. Because if you guys weren't here, these sermons would not be being made here, and they would not be going where God wants to take them. But God is doing that. And we just want you to remember, just start the broadcast. Don't ever forget, this is what is happening into our fourth, headed for our fifth year. Faithfully. Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And for those of you that are listening by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, and those of you that have downloaded this teaching that is live here on the radio, but is coming to you from our website, we're so glad that you have joined with us today to gather around the Word of God. We bring our teachings from the Bible.
All right. Praise God. That's getting ready to get into the Word and to cast the net and to see people come into the kingdom of God and join us in intercession for souls around the world. Praise God. How many are younger than me again? Just thought I'd ask. I'm beginning to wonder that maybe some of you were older than I thought you were. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Just I love you today anyway. Praise the Lord. I love you though your mind is wandering. I love you though that your old body is aching. I love you anyway, and God loves you, and God isn't through with you yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's that guy that sung My Achy Breaky Heart? I sing that about my bones sometimes. It's not nothing to do with my heart. Amen. I want to read a scripture today, and I want to put it under a heading. And I wasn't going to go in this direction, but the Lord has certainly pointed us in this direction. So where He points us, that's where I'm going to head. Because I'd rather preach without preparation, so much preparation with the anointing, than to prepare very, very well and not depend on the anointing. So we're going to read some scriptures here today, but it's under this heading, Trusting God to Take You Through It All. Remember that song that Andre Crouch sung? He probably wrote it, Through It All, Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Amen. Through it all. Through what, Brother Venable? Because there's little faith formulas out there that are supposed to handle all of these difficulties and circumstances of my life. Amen. Well, you need to get rid of those little faith formulas and get hooked up to a God that you can lean on. I said a God that you can lean on. And not only a God that you can lean on, but a God that you can learn from. Amen. Paul had to learn lessons. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And he didn't put it that way. He didn't stop there. Amen. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, I'm so glad he was honest, because a lot of people bringing faith formulas to you, these faith formulas are real if they can be applied. But discouraged people don't apply these things, because it takes faith to apply all of these formulas. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing. And I love the way Jesus talks, because he never minces words like a lot of the modern day theologians do. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, that doesn't mean it's a blank check, because there's so many other scriptures that he assumes that you understand if you read the rest of the story. Can you say, man, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, here it is, according to his will. We know that he hears us. Everybody say his will. So faith is not to get your way. Faith is to have his will accomplished in your life. You say, well, how could he will me to go through this? He probably doesn't if it's defeating you. Can you say amen? But he can use whatever you're going through. And he does use it. And he doesn't tie the devil up and stick him over in the corner and say, don't bother them because they can't take it. He said, I'm going to give them grace sufficient. I'm going to give them spiritual armor that includes the word of God and the shield of faith. Can you say, man? I'm going to give them an understanding mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to give them all the resources and equipment they need to overcome. And if they can rise up and apply that, then they're going to walk into victory. But it's not going to come through just a simple little faith formula. We need to learn how to lean upon the Lord, to trust God to take us through it all. Can you say, man? Because everybody's going to go through things. Welcome to the real world. Can you say, man, it's easy to stand up before a camera with in your suit and well-coiffed, and ministers that are honest will tell you that behind the scenes, they'll tell you about their battles. Paul told you about his battles. Now, remember his credentials. He said, there was a man lifted up to third heaven. And he's talking about himself, but he don't want to take credit for it. He didn't write a book and make a bunch of money and elevate himself spiritually. Amen. The book about heaven is the book of Revelation. Amen. All the other books contradict each other. They do. Everybody's been there, see something different, and say, till you don't know who's really been there and who really has just had a dream or thought they saw something. There's a lot of weird stuff people said they saw that's even unbiblical. And if it's unbiblical, I don't care what they saw, I don't receive it. There's a lady said she saw Jesus, and guess what? The Jesus she saw, amen, and it was a New York bestseller for many, many years. And you know what she said? This Jesus told her. He said all the world religions were of God, that he established all of them, and all of them lead to the same place. Jesus said, the real Jesus, what did the real Jesus say in the Word of God? Thank you for shaking your head. No, I'm glad for people to know the Word and won't fall for this. I don't care how popular the book gets or what the lady said she experienced. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. And any man that tries to climb up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. Whoever she saw was not the Christ of the Bible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as what? An angel of light, and his ministers of righteousness. Well, how can you tell the difference when they open their mouth? Can you say amen? Because if anyone contradicts what God has given us in his word, they're to be anathema. We're to reject them. Even if an angel, Paul said. Even if an angel comes. People said, an angel told me to do that. You better check it out with the word of God. Amen. There's a Mormon religion that is a way off base. And the leader of it got the revelation for the Book of Mormon from an angel of light. And the Bible said, though an angel bring you another gospel, let him be anathema, the angel. Can you say amen? Reject him. Remind him of his judgment. Hallelujah. Oh, church, we need a truth that will set us free. We need a trust that will lift us up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Trusting God to take you through it all. Proverbs 3:5. Oh, let me tell you what Paul said. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I can't help it. It's such a temptation. Four senior guys are after this one really good-looking widow woman. And I don't mean a widow little lady. I'm talking about she'd been widowed, but she's very good looking. And the seniors, you think seniors don't, it's all over when you get past a certain stage. I got news for you. It isn't all over. Can you say amen? I'm 64. I'm a senior, and it ain't over yet. But thank the Lord, amen. I still love my gal right here. And anyway, these older guys were always wanting her to go out to eat, and she really didn't want to fool with any of them. And she just said, I'm going to stop this Sunday, amen. She said, Pastor, before the service starts, there's a scripture that I want to quote, and said it involves some men in this church, and I want them to hear it this morning. Amen. And she stood up and she didn't quote it exactly right, but she stood up and said what I'm just quoting here, and I'm going to do it right. She stood up and said, I would not have any of you ignorant brethren. Well, let me quote it right. I would not have you to be ignorant brethren concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia. This is Paul the apostle. Sometimes we look at people that have such victorious lives and such deep walks with the Lord, and we think all of that is because of the little faith formulas they've discovered and applied instead of the lesson learned while going through valleys and trials. I said, instead of the lessons learned going through valleys and trials. And if they don't tell us how they came to that conclusion where they could apply the principle, then we'll never learn the lesson. And when trials come, it'll blow us away. And we'll think our faith is not working properly, or even worse, we will think that God is not being fair or faithful to us. Can you say amen? And that will push you beyond the realm of his help. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil wants to shove you away from his help, and he can't do it unless you cooperate with him. Amen? So Paul said something a lot of preachers won't tell. But truth be known, the only way you learn this is to go through some things. I would not have you to be ignorant. He's going to be forthright. He's going to be authentic. He's going to be sincere, and he's going to be honest. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia. How that we were pressed beyond measure. Having the Holy Ghost doesn't make you superhuman. You still have emotional limits. How many has ever lost your temper? Wave at me. Dear Lord, what an outfit. Join the human race. So, quit it, Sean. Sean wants to go on. And James, listen, two of those disciples had such tempers, they were called the sons of thunder. You mess with them, you had a fight on your hands. Can you say amen? They were quick to blow their stack, and yet Jesus took them. Amen. He didn't just pick people that didn't have hang-ups, character flaws. Peter was impetuous. Can you say amen? Oh, Lord, I'll never forsake you. They might. Oh, yeah, the rest of them, I don't even trust them myself, but I will never forsake you. Can you say amen? I mean, it's easy to talk that way in the warm, gushing feelings of love in that upper room. But when they saw Jesus looking like a helpless lamb hanging on that cross, the same Peter denied him and swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. And if it wasn't for the grace and the love of Christ, Peter would have stopped right there, become discouraged, and you'd never heard any more of him. But Jesus loved him back into the place of victory that he needed to be while he was down and had nothing to offer God, amen, except repentance for his failure. And yet grace picked him up and established him. Can you say amen? And he went on to accomplish what God had purposed for him to accomplish, but he'd have never got there if Jesus didn't reach way down and pick him way up. Can you say amen? That's why we used to sing that psalm. He lifted me from where I couldn't bring myself out of. He lifted me from the miry clay. My faith didn't lift me. My faith was put in him, and he lifted me. Hallelujah. It was the power of his grace and the power of his love and the power of his strength. Hallelujah. And he put my feet upon a rock. See, he doesn't just lift you out. He establishes you to keep you from continually falling back in. Can you say amen? He'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And thou shalt be called the trees of righteousness when he does that. The planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. After you've suffered for a while, there's the ashes. He will establish, strengthen, and settle you. The planting of the Lord. Because you learn things through what you're going through. And what you learn about him through what you're going through, if you will look for him to teach you and not give up and give in, you will be stronger. Though your faith be tried as by fire, what comes out of that fire? Something tarnished? Something tattered? Something torn? No. Something burnt up? No. What comes out of that fire? Something pure and precious. Can you say amen? Everybody say pure and precious. Glory to God. Thou shalt come forth as pure gold. But you know, God said, I'll try you as silver is tried. As silver is tried. To ancient Israel. How is silver tried? With heat. I did a bad, bad thing at home. My son, when I fix him a pizza, my youngest son, he's in his late 30s, my oldest in his late 40s, they're all getting ready to become old men. They seem like old men already to me anyway. Amen. Yeah, they do. My son works at my oldest son, 47 years old, he works at Lowe's. Hey, man, you know, you go around, you water some plants, you clean some things up, and you tell people where it is in the aisle. It's not like production or anything like that. I mean, and if he has to work a full 8 hours, he's. I said, how long did you work today? Oh, they worked me 8 hours today. And I'm thinking, dear Lord in heaven, I ought to go to just a couple of years ago, he should have went to work with me. Should have went out on a line crew with me, with Miller the Man Killer. That was what they called him. John Miller. They called him Miller the Man Killer because he'd push you to the limits, man. I saw men, big men, turn white. The bear would catch them. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, the heat would get them, and they would have to come down. Listen very carefully. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia. I'm going to be honest with you. We were pressed beyond measure, amen, and despaired of life itself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you get to that point, you've come to the end of yourself. Can you say amen? But listen, he said that we might learn. That we might learn. Some lessons you only learn by going through things. You can't learn it from a tape set. You can't learn it from listening to a preacher preach. But you can get information that you need to find out what you need to know when that trial comes. And I'm giving you information from the Word of God. I'm not here to just give you inspiration. I'm here to give you information. I remember a man preaching in our church. People got all excited about him. They didn't know no more when he got done than when he started. And my people perished for a lack of what? Inspiration? Enthusiasm? No. Lack of knowledge. Can you say amen? You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Glory be to God. Listen, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will keep you free. Praise God. But you've got to go through these things and apply these things, and you've got to dig deep sometimes. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed. Your emotions have limits. Beyond measure. When I first came into the Holy Church of God that I became pastor of, there was a lady. And I mean, she was Miss Pentecost. If she heard this, she would agree. She was Miss Pentecost. Her hair was just Pentecostal hair. Amen. No makeup. Dressed right down to the ankles. Sleeves down to the wrist. Holiness. Complete holiness. I was in awe of her. I really was. I mean, I was trying to live as close as I could, but when I got around her, I felt kind of intimidated. Like she was not holier than thou, but holier than me. Can you say amen? You know what I'm saying? I mean, and it wasn't that I wasn't trying to live right. I was doing my best, but I just wasn't to seem like her level. And I had her up on this pedestal of if I could ever attain that level of holiness, if I could be that close to God, if I could die out that much to self, till she told me an honest story. She said, Brother Venable, she said, one day I was at my fence and said, I got a neighbor that I know that the devil sent right to live beside me to torment me. Always tormenting me. Said, if it wasn't for that one neighbor, I could have peace But that one neighbor interrupts my peace and tries to sap my joy. And say, one day she come over the fence and she wanted to, said, I want to talk to you. And it was some little old something she didn't like about something in my yard. And I went over to the fence and she said, I felt good. I had been praying. This was a lady that prays in tongues several times a day, that felt like I can't even go to sleep unless I pray in tongues and talk to God. I mean, she's just got it together. And she went over to the fence, and I can't picture this. To this day, I can't picture this. Not out of her, of all people, said, I went over to the fence, and she said, I don't know what happened. She said, she got in my face. She just got in my face and said, I didn't even feel it coming on. I didn't know it was going to happen till it was over and done. She said, I went, slapped her face. I thought, oh, no, you didn't. Somebody else might have, but not you. Not you. That really busts my bubble. It busts my bubble. She said, I had to repent. I had to ask her forgiveness. Why did she have to do that? Because you and I, we're human beings. Are we to give in to that? No. I'm honest to say, I've wanted to, but I've never done it in all of these years. I've wanted to. I can't tell you I haven't had the want to before. And not so much physically, amen, but just verbally. You know what I mean? I mean, I have wanted to tell some people what was on my carnal mind at the time. Because once you get moved back into the spirit, you quit thinking that way. Can you say, man, you quit seeking vengeance? You don't have to have the last word. If I hold my peace, it's a song, but it's a biblically strong concept. If I hold my peace, boy, it's hard to hold your peace. Can you say, man, when you're angry and you're, but if I hold my peace and what? What's going to happen? Victory, victory shall be mine. Now you can tell everybody off, but you'll never know victory until you can let the Lord take up the fight. Can you say, man? And he said, vengeance is mine. I repay, saith the Lord. And when he does repay, he said, don't rejoice when you see your enemy fall. Amen. Now that doesn't mean when you see the enemies of God's work and a nation trying to be destroyed, because after Pharaoh's army was destroyed, it was ordered. It was requisite of them that they absolutely sing God's praises and sing that war song. Amen. Our God is a man of war. Miriam led them in it. Praise God. He has thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. It's talking about when you get personally offended and you take personal gratification in someone else's pain. And boy, that's a big temptation. If somebody gives it to me in the neck and God spanks them for it, I want to gloat. My flesh wants to say, ha, 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 uh-huh, now, told you so. I had a cousin. She's taller than me. I looked at that picture of her standing beside me the other day, and she's just kind of a skinny little redheaded girl. But she was bigger than me and bigger than most of the kids I hung with, so we all called her Big Patricia. Big Patricia was the best playmate that I've ever had when I was growing up. She's a great Big Patricia. I never had to worry about anybody bullying me. I didn't have a big brother. I was the only child. I didn't need a big brother. I had Big Patricia. Can you say, man? Big Patricia take care of business. She was tomboy. She could bat a ball better. She could kick a ball better. She could play dodgeball. She could climb the top of a tree like a monkey. Amen. She was a tomboy's tomboy. And she could fight, too. Red hair, freckles. Amen. It was in her blood. Big Patricia. Amen. Nobody going to mess with me because I don't need a big brother. I got Big Patricia, and I love to hang out with Big Patricia and have fun with Big Patricia. Amen. But she had a flaw. You know what her flaw was? She loved to tell on people. She was a tattletale. If Big Patricia knew it, somebody's going to get told on. She'd start out by saying, amen. You know what that meant? I'm going to tell on you. Amen. She was bad about it. Well, one day there was they had chickens. She lived with her aunt, and they had a chicken coop, and they had a rooster in there. He was mean. Lord, that thing was mean. And I like to torment him with a stick. Just go up there and just knock on the chicken, you know, the wire around the chicken coop, knock on it. He'd come over there running at me. Boy, he didn't like. I didn't hurt him or, you know, hit him, but I would love to have him with dumplings, to tell you the truth. Can you say amen? He would have been good with dumplings. And I would have savored. He'd have been tough, wouldn't he? He too tough to eat. Yeah, he was tough. Lord, he was tough. See, the reason I was angry at him, one day the gate got opened and he got out. And he chased me all the way back to my house. They lived near us. He chased me. He come at me with those spurs, and I took off. And I by the time I got home, I was crying. I don't mind to tell you I was crying because he was gaining on me, and I was running full out, and he's coming right behind me. Amen. So when they had him pinned up, I wanted to get him back. And I said, "You mean old rooster, you mean old rooster, you mean old rooster." And I hit that stick at him like that at the cage. I was getting near the gate, and there's a little old latch on that gate. I hit it with the stick, and it opened the gate. And not only did the chicken chase me home, but all the rooster, but all the chickens in the coop got all excited, and they just went running everywhere. And who opened the gate? And all them chickens got to be caught and put back in the coop, including the rooster. And who opened the gate? I did. And who saw me do it? Big Patricia. My daddy got home at 5 o'clock on the button from work. And I knew what was going to happen at 5 o'clock because I saw her and her aunt out getting chickens, chasing chickens all afternoon to get them back in the coop. And I knew what Big Patricia was going to do in spite of everything. She's going to tell my daddy. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to confess this to my dad when he walks in the door. I'm going to take whatever punishment's coming to me before Big Patricia gets here. And I told my daddy when he come in, I started crying. I said, Daddy, I did a bad thing. I did the same thing with Pamela when I messed her oven up this week. Anyway, I said, well, I wasn't crying on the outside, but anyway. I did call her and confess before because she was away. I wanted to not get the shock of it. I wanted to confess it, seek forgiveness, take my whip and whatever. Amen. But Dad, come on. I said, I was tormenting the rooster. I didn't mean to. I accidentally unlocked the gate and all the chickens come out. And I thought if I threw myself on his mercy, he had, you know, he's always tired from work. He said, go get me a limb. Go get me a limb. One time I brought him one of these little flimsy things and he went and got his own. I never did that again. If he gets one, it's going to be a big one. So I'm not going to get a little one. I'm going to get it somewhere in the middle. Can you say amen? He's going to whip me. And he always said the same thing. Are you going to do that anymore? And I'm going to say no, Daddy. Actually, I started saying no, Daddy, not so he wouldn't whip me, but so he would, to get a kind of a head start on, because if he heard enough no, Daddies, he'd stop. So, He got it, and I said, no, Daddy. He said, yes, I'm going to. I said, I don't mean that. I mean, I'm not going to go. I went ahead and started dancing. Amen. Did you know that one of those little switches will make you dance? White boy got some rhythm when that thing. Yeah, I got me some rhythm. Amen. Right quick. He gave me my spanking. But my dad was always loving. He always then would soothe me and say, now don't ever do that again. He would say those crazy things like, it's going to hurt me more than it is you. And we all know that ain't so. Can you say that ain't so? Amen. But it was good out of all of this? Going and confessing, going and being honest, going and open up about my sin, my weakness, what I did wrong, being open and honest before God. And so it's over. It's over. It's forgotten. It's gone. And then I saw Big Patricia coming. Because she saw his car. And she's coming. And she's enthusiastic about telling on people. And she's coming. And we had a screen door. I remember she just threw open that screen. And it come back around and hit. She come in and says, Bob, you know what Bobby did today? Do you know what Bobby did today? He said, yes, I do. And I've already taken care of it. And her countenance just dropped. She didn't even get to see it and savor it. My punishment had been given. It was over and done. And Big Patricia had to go on back home. Amen. Hallelujah. And I felt so good. I felt free. I felt good because I knew my dad loved me. I knew I did wrong. I knew that requires some attention to that. And I didn't take it wrong that I got punished for it. I deserved to be punished. But it was so good to get it over with. And know now I can go on about the rest of my day and tomorrow and not have that hanging over me. See, honesty. Honesty before God. You know what the Bible said? If we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. Amen. We need to learn how to be open people, honest people. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we're lying. Amen. It's either omission or commission. It doesn't mean that we're prone to sin and have to give in to sin. The Bible said that we have a lot of control in our life. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Amen. Are you listening to me? He that committeth sin or lives habitually in, unrepentant and unconvicted, is of the devil, according to 1 John. Don't kid yourself. I don't care if they're wearing a choir robe in a church every Sunday. If they live in habitual sin, unconvicted, God's word said they're of the devil, period. That's strong teaching, isn't it? That's out of this book we carry and claim to believe. Live habitually in. But you know what is just as wrong as the concept that you can live habitually in sin and claim to be a Christian? Is that you can be a Christian and never need to repent of sin. Can you say amen? And that's what he's addressing in 1 John. Again, if we say we have zero sin. When my pastor, I was attending a church. This lady was the pastor. And I was getting ready to take over that church. When she slapped that lady. That was sin. Amen. It's not only sin, it's a punishable crime. It's called assault and battery. I would hate to have to bail my pastor out of jail. And it worked before I retired. It got so bad one night that I felt it coming on. I'm a little, but I'm wiry. Amen. And I would hate for you to have had to take up an offering. We got a special offering this Sunday, Brother Ben. We couldn't be here. What's it for? We got to bail him out of jail. What did he do? He smacked somebody at work. Oh, y'all be lining up to come hear me preach about holiness. Crucifying the flesh. Walking in the spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. This is real. This fight is real. And Paul said, I want to be real with you. I want you to understand that there's a place in our emotions as a Christian with all the gifts of the Spirit and all the power of God invested in us and all the revelations. We're human beings, and we have limits. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me doesn't mean that you can walk on water. Come on. It's not about supernatural miracles. It's about the grace sufficient to take you through trials. Thank you for the hearty amens. In the actual context, it is I am equal to anything. And what was he talking about? He said, I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was given 39 stripes to the Jews on 5 separate occasions. I was shipwrecked 3 times, but I'm equal to it because of what he gives me when all of this trouble befalls me. And when I am weak and all these things weaken him, what did he say happened at that point in his life? Then I am made strong. Can you say amen? And he said, I'm going to really quit complaining about these things. He said, I went to the Lord, and it was a complaining, petitionary prayer. He said, I besought the Lord thrice because there was a devil sent to buffet me. And it looked like all of these things were things that shouldn't be going wrong, because if you get your faith just right and you get just right with God, you don't have these troubles. It was his faith and revelation that brought those troubles. An emissary from Satan was sent to buffet him. Do everything that you possibly can to discourage him and divert him from what God has called him to do. And it came in bushels sometimes on Paul. That's why people didn't like to evangelize with him. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. When the going got tough, they quit. Because they didn't get rich and live in the lap of luxury preaching the gospel in that day. They got persecuted, put in prison, and threatened with death, and stoned and left for dead, and yet was found preaching in another city. Isn't that amazing? So if you're going to talk faith, you've got to walk faith, and faith doesn't walk any taller than when you go through these things that have the potential to destroy you, and you stand up and praise God anyhow, and go ahead and serve God anyhow. Can you say, man, I want Paul to be my pattern, not modern day preachers that are not suffering for the sake of the gospel, because everybody else has to. Well, everybody that lives godly, that is. Everybody that lives godly shall suffer persecution. If they persecuted me, Christ said, they're going to persecute you, because the servant is not greater than his master. So this idea of getting up, wouldn't it be nice though? I thought, wouldn't this new message be nice if I could just build my faith to a point that I could manipulate my life to my own liking? I'd never have trouble in Asia. Everything would level out. Everything would just go so smooth. Can you say, man? I would never experience the trouble and the pressure that would bring you to the point of understanding and learning, amen, what you need to learn. Here's what Paul said. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, that we might learn, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. In God who has such power, such authority, such dominion over every circumstance of life that even death, he's still in control. Amen. Can you say amen? If he wants you to live, even if death has taken you, he'll bring you right back to life. God is in absolute control, and there's no limits.
That's right, man.
So he can take everything and work it together for good. For everybody, for a specific group of people, to those who love the Lord. First and foremost, you've got to love the Lord more than you love your self-life. Amen? For him to, otherwise you're going to reject everything as from the devil, and everything is a defeat. It's not all defeat. It's not all from the devil. And what the devil does bring, listen to Joseph. He would have never come through his trials. Can you imagine Joseph? He's favored of God. God gives favor to Joseph. His daddy sees God's favors on him. His daddy favors Joseph. Joseph, he brings him a coat of many colors, and he's a sport in that coat. The only problem is his brethren are jealous of him, and they can't stand the sight of him. There's sibling rivalry. And the enemy's going to use that to torment him. And they want to kill him. They hate him that much. Jealousy will bring you to that point if it's entertained. I'd want to see him dead. And they said, but we would have blood on our hands. So they're trying to figure a way to eliminate him without having blood on their hands. And they take him out and they throw him into a cistern with a crack in the bottom that can't hold water, but it's so deep he can't climb out. This big clay-lined hole in the ground. And they don't give him any water. They don't give him any bread. They don't give him any food. He'll die down there. But then they think, our blood will still be on our hands, because he'll be dead and we're the one that caused his death. Better idea. Let's sell him into slavery. The next caravan coming through, we're going to take our baby brother and we're going to sell him into slavery. This is the guy with God's favor now. This is the guy that God's hand is on. This is the guy God has a purpose to deliver Israel in famine. Hello? Wow. Isn't that incredible? This is the guy. Hallelujah. I'm so good to know isn't it good to know if we keep our trust in the Lord? He's able to make everything work together for good. He's able to achieve his purpose in spite of our weakness, in spite of the devil's schemes. Can you say, Matt? Isn't it good to know that? But we know that all things work. It doesn't just say all things work together for good as a statement. It's something you have to experience. It's something you have to take into your heart and life as a settled fact and a reality. But we know that all things work together for good. You got to know it, friend. You got to know it. Paul knew. I don't understand what's happening to me, but I know That when the dust settles and when all of this is said and done, God is going to be glorified and I'm going to be where God wants me and do what he called me to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, don't patty cake. Either do it or don't do it, but don't patty cake. God is on the throne. Hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing. See, you got to know something in order to do that. You got to know that you know that you know that these trials and these tests are going to turn to testimonies. And God can use what the devil intends to hurt you with to bring you into a deeper walk and accomplish more through you and for you. You got to know that. You got to know it. It's got to be a settled thing in you. I told Pamela what I'm going through now is not just the devil trying to get to me. It's God in the process. Because it ain't working out in the time frame I want it to work out. Because I want an answer yesterday. Lord, give me patience. And hurry. Can you say? Give me patience and hurry. Oh, yes. Oh, you pray for patience? How does he develop patience? Does he just grant you with this serene spirit? You say, Lord, give me patience. And suddenly you say, oh, this will work out itself someday. I don't have to be filled with any anxiousness or any kind of thing like that. I think I will just go right in the midst of all this. I think I'll just praise the Lord. I think I'll just spend my whole day thanking God and just giving him glory and honor. No, he said, you need patience. You need patience. Tribulation. Phelpsis. Pressure. That reduces us to the point of a pure trust in him will bring perseverance and patience developed in our life. Pressure does that. Pressure. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience, if you learn to persevere, even when you're weak, even when heaven seems like it's brass, even like God seems, even if God seems like he's distant, if we learn to persevere, because patience is used two ways, and the majority of the time it's used to persevere, to press on, to press in, to praise him anyhow, to pray anyway. Hallelujah. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Can you say amen? He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without gates and whose walls are broken down. It's an indefensible city that can be taken by any enemy that easy. And where do we learn those disciplines and to take control? We learn it down in that valley depending on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And down in that valley, he restores our soul. Praise God. I said, down in the valley, he restores our soul. When I am weak and look to him with the true faith and persevere, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. If you don't give up and you don't give in, for he that shall come will come. When it's time, he will not tarry. Can you say amen? Amen. God good today? Amen. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. It's a process. What do you experience when you wait upon the Lord? They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. You think it's going to keep you down, press you completely down. No, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. What do you experience? Lifting up. Experience. What else do you experience? You experience the power of grace even when you're at your weakest. And you don't worry about trying to be strong. You worry more about trusting with all of your heart. Everybody say, trusting with all of my heart. Quit trying to be strong and trust with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. Commit thy way unto him. Trust also in him. And he will bring it to pass. What is it? His will, his eternal purpose. What he wants done is going to get done. Hallelujah. And the devil can't stop him from doing it if we don't stop him. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know where in the world God is going to take me when it's all said and done. But I'm telling you right now, he's in control of this thing. I'm not. It's out of control in the natural, but it's not out of control in the supernatural. Can you say amen? We don't look at the things which are seen, for they're temporal. We look past that to the unseen, for they are eternal. Everything I can see is transient, passing. What's unseen is unshakable. And therefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we serve God with reverence and godly fear. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. So let me finish this quickly. Poor Joseph. He does the right thing. He gets put in a cistern, pulled out and sold to a slave trader on his way to Egypt. He's a Jew with the covenant with God, but now he's a slave. He's sold to a master called Potiphar. He comes down to Potiphar's house. He's been rejected by his siblings, his brothers. He's been sold into slavery. He's now a slave. He's Abraham's seed. He has a covenant with God. And God has taken him somewhere and he doesn't have a clue. All he knows is, I've been rejected by my siblings. I've been put into a cistern. I've been sold to a slave trader. And God is in control. He had to believe. He had to know. He had to know. He had to know. He would have shook his fist at heaven, give up, lost the purpose of God in his life. Amen. If he had shook his fist at heaven, if he got into such question of God, he went into deep depression, but he didn't. He continued to stand true in his trust and his hope, regardless of the immediate circumstance. And Potiphar saw something on that young man, and he said immediately, he's not going to be one of the workers out in the field. He's not going to be somebody that empties the chamber pots in the morning. Can you say amen? And at night in the house, this man is going to be put in charge of this whole operation. Amen. All I have, I'm entrusting him with it. God gave him favor as a slave in Egypt. Can you say amen? God gave him favor. Amen. The devil was trying to hurt him, trying to harm him, but God continued to bless him in spite of everything the devil was doing. But he had to know something, didn't he? He had to know God was still on the throne. He had to know that God was still in charge. He had to believe in his heart that God had not forsaken him. So the next thing that comes, I'm going to tell you something. Joseph was not a eunuch. And Potiphar had a beautiful wife. And when Potiphar would go on his business trips, he trusted Joseph not only with his household, but being around his beautiful wife. And this beautiful lady came to Joseph consistently. And she didn't beat around the bush. There was no innuendo here. She said, lay with me. Lay with me. My husband's out of town. No one will know. He kept rejecting her advances as a righteous man. Isn't that incredible that even without the Holy Ghost back then, if you wanted to live right, amen, if you really want to do right, amen, can you say, man, if I do what the Lord say do, if I do what the Lord say do, if I do what the Lord say do, everything's going to be all right. Sometimes it's hard to do what the Lord say do. But if we do what the Lord say do, everything's going to be all right, because if we leave God in charge, amen, he always wins. He's never lost one of these battles, even though it looks like it. Listen to me carefully. So she says, lay with me. And he said, I will not. And she grabbed him by the cloak. She tugged at him. And he said, I will not sin against my God. And I will not sin against Potiphar, my master. He's been good to me. I won't sin against him. He's trusted me, and I won't betray his trust. And my God, I will not. Listen, if he got discouraged, you know what he would have done? Let me tell you what discouragement would have done in his life. He would have said, God isn't blessing me. I've done right and got it in the neck. Why should I keep myself celibate? Why should I keep myself separate? Why should I hold back from sin? Why, if God isn't going to bless me, and all that's got me for being righteous is all of this trouble, amen, why don't I just give in and take all the pleasure I can get from the world? There are people that do that, and Satan sucks them in. They blame God and say, I'll show him. My uncle came back to Christ after many years in ministry. The youngest man to ever go as high as he went in his denominational structure, as quick as he went. and yet he failed. And he bottomed out, and he got mad at God. He got angry at God and decided to make up for all the years that he lived for God by trying to heap all the sin on himself that he could heap. And he got into some of the sickest sins. He went from casting out devils, audiences with Dave Wilkerson, high-ranking pastor of one of the most prestigious churches in his denomination, youngest man to achieve that status among the people within his denomination, Pentecostal holiness, tongue-talking. But when he opened the door to the devil will take all you give, and he gave him all. He died at 54 years old, but he died having repented, having come back to God. He died telling me after a meeting that he and I attended, he said, I believe God has taken my mantle and given it to you. He said, I probably will never preach in the pulpit again. He said, but can I use one of the Sunday school offices to counsel people, to tell them the pitfalls, particularly anointed people, and people feel that it'll never happen to me. Tell them the pit. See, you get discouraged. You lose that desire to resist. And you need more than God's power. You need a will that says, I do. Listen, do you believe that Joseph felt the pull of that temptation? Not just her grabbing him, but just his own flesh? Sure he did. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. But he had a commitment to his God. He had a commitment to his slave master. God let me be a slave down here and trying to show me his favor, and God's abandoned me. I'm just going to show God. I'm going to take all the world and pleasure I can get. I've seen people do it, and the devil destroys them quickly. You can't let that discouragement enter in, because it's a step toward backsliding if it's not resolved. Amen? Listen carefully. So he rejects her. She's scorned by him. You know what she does? She calls the authorities and said, he raped me. And now he's put in prison for rape. If you can listen, you got to trust God. You can't manipulate your life to your liking. You got to trust God and his eternal purposes.
That's right.
And lean not to your understanding. Everybody says, well, if God's with me, why has all this befallen me? That's exactly why the champions of old lost their courage. Amen?
Amen?
If God is with us, why is this befalling us? Because God is with you, doofus.
Amen.
Devil don't like it. You're a testimony. You're a witness. You're a threat to hell.
Yeah.
He ain't going to sit back and take it. He's going to do something. But God's way ahead of him. God is able. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, don't patty cake. Give him a hand clap. Give you one more chance to praise him today. Hallelujah. You got to know something, honey. And you got to learn it at some point.
Yes.
And you've got to get away from the messages that put you in control and get a hold of the truth that lets God be in control. Because if I was in control, I wouldn't go through nothing.
That's right.
Never! Paul said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. Why didn't he get up and go and rebuke the wind and rain? Amen? Why didn't he just go out there and say, quit it! Quit it! Bother me while I'm sleeping? Storm, you quit it. He said, not only was I shipwrecked 3 times, but I was in the deep for a day and a night. The only one that ever stopped the storm was Jesus. And when he didn't will it to stop, you couldn't stop it with prayer. Couldn't stop it with faith. Paul said, this ship's going to wreck. This storm ain't going to quit. He said, I was in prayer all night. God told me this ship's going to wreck. Oh, isn't that a great thing to arise from prayer with? When the boat's about to sink. That's in your Bible. That's in Acts 27.
Yes, it is.
Paul went down in the ship and prayed all night. And he said, men and brethren, be of good cheer. Because God told me that he's going to preserve us all. We're not going to be killed. But that's the good news. Now, here's the bad news. This boat is going to wreck.
The boat you trust in, it's going to wreck. The storm ain't going to quit. He said, how be it? However, when it does wreck, we are going to be cast on some island somewhere. No, on a certain island. That means God has a plan. God has a purpose. And wherever we end up when this boat wrecks is right where God wants us to be. Can you say amen? Oh, you're not hearing me today. Amen. Oh, we need to get in this Bible and learn something. Can you say amen? Because you can't escape your trials, but you can escape the discouragement that they bring. Ah, hallelujah. I've lost my shouting voice, but I can still holler. Ah, hallelujah. Brother Bimble, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. You need to hear it. Amen. You need to know what to do when the trouble comes, because in this world, it's a promise you shall have tribulation. My trouble may be not like your trouble, and your trouble may not be my trouble, but we are going to have the pressure. Wow. So don't run from the devil. Run to the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Okay, the Bible said that the ship broke apart on some rocks. Storm continued. And when the ship broke apart, said some swam. And some who couldn't swim grabbed hold of the wreckage. Some on boards. Amen. We all came up on the bank of this certain island. Can you say amen? And when all this crew of the ship, the prisoners, including Paul, in prison for preaching Christ, when they got, this sounds like that, what's the name of that series that went on so long where the plane crashed on an island?
Lost.
Yeah, they didn't have a clue. Paul had a word from the Lord. I'm in this storm. I'm in this shipwreck. I'm in this water with you. I'm in this water with you. I'm in this water with you. Can you say amen? And so they built a fire because they're all trembling because they're wet, soaking wet and cold. And they're all trembling and they build this fire. And now the people that are on the island, they come and look at this scene of all these water-soaked men coming out. They all look the same. They're all trembling. They're wet to the bone. They've been up all night praying. Amen. Because it's in a storm and they're these bewildered, rain-soaked, cold to the bone. They're trembling and they build a fire and they get this big fire going and they're all standing around the fire. And when somebody picked up a bunch of sticks, they picked up a poisonous viper to build the fire with. In your Bible, Acts 27. Sound like something out of a good movie. Sound like an adventure. Can you say amen? Amen. And you know what? When the fire started getting hot, the snake that had been picked up, the poisonous viper, amen, he got antsy. And he thought, I'm out of here. And he tore out of there mad as a snake. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He come out. He was angry. And he headed for somebody. Amen. And guess who he headed for? The rest of the prisoners were there for crimes. Paul was there for preaching Christ. Who does he head for? Who does he make a beeline for?
The preacher.
The preacher. Who gets bit? The preacher. Amen. He's been shipwrecked, storm-tossed, and now he's snake bit. Oh, and they'd seen people get bit by these poisonous snakes. And they said they swell, and then they die. And it happens very quickly. So when that snake bit him, it bit him on either the hand or the foot. We don't know which one. But wherever it bit him, it said, and he shook it back into the fire. Everybody say, he shook it back into the fire. Shook it back into the fire. You could hear that little snake popping, crackling. I'll tell you what praise and trust will do in the middle of your trial. It'll shake that sucker off right back into the fire. Can you say amen? Come on. Hey, somebody do this. Somebody do this. Say, shake it off. Let's shake it off today. Oh, I've been discouraged. Shake it off. Praise God. Amen. I don't understand what God's doing. I prayed and it got worse. Shake it off. I challenge you to shake it back into the fire. The devil did mean it for evil, but there's someone other than the devil at work in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? It don't mean he won't hatch some of his schemes, his diabolical schemes. It means that God will supersede him. God will override him. God will overrule him because Jesus is still Lord. Hallelujah. Oh!
Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and they sat there expecting him to swell up and die. That's what the world expects of you when you go through trouble.
Yeah.
You will curse God, get back in the world, give up your faith.
Yeah.
They're looking at you because you're going to go through things too.
Amen.
You say, what am I going through? Don't know. I know this about you. God knows you so well that he will not allow you personally to be tempted above that you personally are able to bear. Who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you personally might be able to bear it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's his promise. That's his promise. He's a promise keeper. But he needs our trust in his promise. And he needs us to have knowledge. And Paul knew God wanted me on this island. And that deadly snake, it would have to stop God's purpose to stop me. And so the poison that normally would be injected can't harm me if you drink any deadly thing. That don't mean... Now listen, let me make it very clear before we close. Where I'm from in Kentucky, where I was born and reared... Not reared, I was reared here, but I was born in Kentucky. In Kentucky, there are churches way up in the hills and hollers. Amen. And they took that scripture literally. And they went out and got copperheads, and they got rattlesnakes, and they brought them into the church. And when you get in a fever pitch, I think the reason some people didn't get bit, because the snakes had never seen anything like this in their life. I think the snakes were just absolutely stymied. Here these crazy Pentecostals are coming out here picking us up. And they're talking in this crazy language, and they're shaking all over like that. And I think the snake's saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. What is this? What is this? I've never seen nothing. Everybody runs from me. These people are going nuts, and they were stymied, and they're picking up snakes. And some of them got bit, and some of them died from the bite. Jesus is not talking about that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about everything. When he says, if you drink any deadly thing, he's talking about every intent of the devil to do you harm. Without exception, Satan is long to have you that he might sift you as the wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. When you come through these things, not when you escape these things, but when you come through these things with victory, strengthen your brethren. They need to know that God is still in control, no matter how it looks. And you trust in him, he'll bring you through. Can you say amen? They need to know that today. Hallelujah, that's knowledge being imparted. And he didn't puff up and he didn't die. He had no ill effect. So don't ever bring me a snake.
No, sir.
I will hurt the snake and you. You hand me a snake, you're both going down. Can you say amen? Not because I'm mad at you, because I'll snatch that snake. I'll get you and the snake both can go right on out the door. I don't prove my faith by holding a cotton mouth. I prove my faith by trusting God in my trials. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Yeah, a good snake is a dead snake. Say a black snake will keep the others away. My wife's sentiments completely. Here we come to the closing. Paul in Acts 27. When they saw that he didn't die. Oh, by the way, you know what they said when he got bit? What not only the world will say, but some of your Christian buddies will say. You must have done something real bad. And now God's judgment has caught. Because they knew this is a prison ship. God's judgment has caught up with you. But when he didn't die, they changed their mind about that. And they said, this person knows the true God. Only God could deliver him from that snake bite. And they said, our chief is ailing and dying. This tribe, would you come and minister to him? And he went and ministered to him, and great revival broke out on an island in the sea that a shipwreck and a storm and a shipwreck and a snake bite brought Paul to. And these modern day preachers couldn't take the storm. They do not believe their ship could ever be wrecked. And they're not ready for no snake bite. Because their faith only works when the sea is calm and there's no trouble. And life can be manipulated to be smooth and perfect. And that's wrong. The only thing that's giving them the good life right now is the riches they have. So they can, money will, listen, when stress comes on me, I wouldn't have to develop my prayer life if I was a millionaire. You know what I'd do? I say, I'm taking a leave of absence. I'm going to Hawaii for 3 weeks.
And when I get done there, I'm going to Maui for 2 weeks. And when I get done at Maui, I think I'll just hop over to London and have me some fish and chips and check into to a inn out in the suburbs, out in the beauty of, not the city, but get out in the beauty of England for a while. And you know, when I'm done there, you know, I've never seen France. I think I'll just hop over to France for a while. When I feel completely decompressed, I'll go back home to Tampa. Can you say amen? Well, where do you go to decompress? Where do I go to decompress? I have to go to the rock of my salvation, the stone that the builders rejected. Can you say amen? I have to find in Jesus. And I have to find it in a hurry. Hallelujah. Amen? Now we'll read this in close. Are you learning anything? Or having it reiterated? I'm going to read from Romans 8, verse 26 through 31, and we'll stop. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Did you know what I would be praying on that ship that was about to sink? Lord, speak to the wind and waves. Is that what I should be praying? No, because that wasn't what he wanted to do. He was going to use that storm, wasn't he? Amen? He was going to use that storm. Is that correct? If you think you know how to pray as you ought, you don't know how to pray in the Spirit. You don't know how to defer to the Spirit. You don't know how to surrender to God. Did this say that we know not what we should pray for as we ought? There are people who think they've read the Bible so much they know everything there is about how to pray. God said, unless you know my eternal purpose for your life, you don't know how to pray. But the Spirit does. Holy Spirit does. Sometimes I pray and don't get an answer. I just defer to the Holy Ghost. Let him pray for a while. Because the Bible said he prays according to the will of God. I thought I was praying to the will of God until I turned it over to him. Yeah. Can you say amen? For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Paul said, I'll pray with my understanding, and I'll do what? I'll defer. I'll pray with the Spirit. Wouldn't it be great if all the preachers think they know it all would just defer to the Spirit? Maybe they don't need to be on the air. Maybe they don't need to come up with new schemes to get money. Maybe God wants them to do something else. Maybe they don't need to be a celebrity. Maybe if they quit, turn it over to the Holy Spirit, they find out what God really wants them to do. If God didn't want us on the air, we wouldn't be on the air. If God didn't want us to reach the nations, we wouldn't be reaching them. Because we couldn't do it in ourselves. It has to be God. So we don't have to ask for an offering to do it, except for here to keep this going. Well, once you realize this, Romans 8, 28 said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And who he justified, he also glorified. What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us with an eternal purpose, who can be against us? Only you can stop God's eternal purpose. Only I can do it by quitting trusting him. But if you determine to trust him, something's going to happen. It happened for Joseph. Joseph is then put in prison, falsely accused, and I don't believe Potiphar doubted him. I believe Potiphar had to go along with the judicial system, but I believe Potiphar knew that he was living with a woman who had done these things before. I believe he still had his trust in Joseph. Joseph still had his integrity. Amen. And in jail, he was betrayed even in jail by fellow people in jail. He's back against the wall again. Negative, negative, negative. Amen. And then finally, amen, there is God elevates him. God's favor overcomes every circumstance because he kept trusting him, kept persevering in his faith, maintained his integrity. Amen. God overruled all these intentions of evil. And God brought good, not only for Joseph, but for the whole nation of Israel. And the Pharaoh saw his wisdom and took note that God's hand was on him. And the Pharaoh, he was true to his master in that slave house of Potiphar in business. And now he's going to be the highest ranking political force in the biggest nation in the world, Egypt. And he's going to be a preserving force for his own people, the nation of Israel. How crucial it was that he didn't throw in the towel, give up and quit when things begin to go seemingly so. Well, they were wrong. They did go wrong. They weren't, but he interpreted it the wrong way. And there he is now. He's come through all of this behind him. And he's second under Pharaoh in the biggest nation in the world, the richest nation in the world. Pharaoh says, and he tells Pharaoh, says, there's a famine coming. God has shown me there's a famine coming. Plant double. Fill your barns to the overflow. And make sure you got enough to get through the famine. Because he knew when the famine comes, my people are going to suffer, Israel. They're going to come to buy corn from Egypt. And if they don't have it, they can't be sustained. Amen. But I'm here. I'm here for a time such as this. Oh, you got to realize we're in the kingdom for this last day. We're in the kingdom. Amen. For this time. We're all here for an eternal purpose to be accomplished. And you're not too old because your body is getting weaker. This is spiritual stuff. And you know who came to represent Israel to buy the corn? The brothers that started this whole thing that brought him such trouble. And now he the man. Everybody say he the man. Yeah. Say the man. He the man. He the man. He's in charge. His brothers come and there's this man dressed to the nines. He's confident. He's tall. He's well fed and he's looking good. Amen. He comes walking out. I want to see the highest under Pharaoh. We need to talk with him. And a man comes out and he's dressed to the nines and he's confident. Amen. And he's walking out. He don't look beaten and beleaguered and beat up and battered. Can you say amen? He's walking out there and he stands and says, what can I do for you? And they don't even recognize him. Amen. Because now they are away from home. They're in another nation. They're in a high court. And there's a man there with the authority to cut their heads clean off. Amen. There stands little Joseph. And finally it occurs to one of them. Lord have mercy. Oh Lord. I mean they probably really said, Lord have mercy in a minute. This is Joseph. He's that man. He's got all of this power after what we did to him. We're in for it. And he saw their faces drop. He saw the blood drain from their faces. He saw their knees begin to knock. It's like, I got you now. I got you where I want you. It's payback time. He said, don't worry. Do not be afraid. You meant it for evil. Somebody overrode you. Somebody stepped in. God meant it for good. You got to know these things, church. You got to know it when the trouble comes. You got to know that God is in control when it seems out of control. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, God has brought me to this time. God has brought me through your intentions of evil to this place. Every stumbling block has been turned into a stepping stone. Because you kept your trust in the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, all these people that would have died of my own people through this famine, tell them you're going to have plenty. Amen. God brought me here to feed Israel in this famine. Praise God. Hallelujah. And your intended evil didn't stop God's purpose for good. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to what? His eternal, say eternal with me, his eternal purpose. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know today? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know today? Praise the Lord. If you'll put this on, we're going to stand to our feet. I want to challenge you to give him thanks today, right where you are in your circumstance. I want to challenge you to thank him for the cross. I want to challenge you to thank him. Amen. For being so good to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, some of you didn't get this. You're going to have to go on back to school. Did you realize that you can't pass
this class until you can't graduate, until you get it and get it right. You go home and complain from this service, you might as well just say, devil, come on in, have a seat. Can I get you some lemonade? Can you say, man, go ahead and make him some lemonade. Make him comfortable because he's coming. Can you say, man? Amen. That attitude of doubt, that attitude of fear, that attitude of discouragement will invite him in. It'll throw the welcome mat out. But if you get an attitude of gratitude, you start thanking God for all the things he's brought you through. You thank him for being faithful. You thank him, amen, for never failing. Praise God. God is going to bring you through this thing. Amen. And what the devil meant for evil, God is going to turn it to good. And he's going to turn your sorrow to dancing. Give you the oil of joy for mourning. Give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when he's finished with you, he's going to establish you. Can you say, man? And you shall be called the trees of righteousness. They'll recognize that you didn't plant yourself. God established you, the planting of the Lord. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. After you've suffered for a while, what's he going to do if you keep your trust? Let him develop your patience. Amen. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. Everybody say, I'm going to be set up like concrete. In the right direction. Everybody, you know what established means? To turn resolutely in the right direction. That means whatever boat brought you over, you burn it when you get there. Because you ain't turning back. Amen. That's how the Spaniards conquered when they came here. You know what they did? They burned their boats. You got to go forward because there ain't no going back. Can you say amen? Well, let's push on and see what God has for us in his eternal purpose. Let's give him some praise this morning. Just for a little while. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 God has saved you.